Hey, welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here. It's always fun to take a look and see what's going on in the world of automobiles outside those being currently repaired, so to speak, and our go-to guy for all the latest in new cars and what's coming up and what's here is Paul Eisenstein, the Detroit Bureau, DetroitBureau.com. Paul, welcome back, sir.
Good to be with you.
Let me ask you the real important question. How are the how's the kitty cats?
Number five is a handful, but yeah, they're doing well.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Speaking of probably doing well and a handful, the 2015 Mustang from Ford, first drive. What's your impression?
One heck of a pleasant surprise. A colleague, I'm not going to steal his line, said it very well the other day after we both drove together. He said it reminded him of what happened when he drove the new Vette a year ago. You had high expectations, and it actually exceeded them. This car is just a joy. Give a lot of credit to the exterior designers. The look is really just right. Give a lot of credit to the guys who approved doing a new chassis, because the original plan was to build it off of the same chassis as some of the world cars that Ford had, and that wouldn't have made it. But the real transformation, the big transformation, is the new independent rear suspension. Recall, they did one on a limited edition model some years back, but it's always been that live rear, and it's just transformative.
Is it you know, this on all models, or is this just certain levels of the Mustang?
No, that's a good thing. A lot of the stuff on this car comes on every model from base up. You get these track apps, you get the new front suspension, and you get the new rear suspension. It is just completely different from anything we have seen before. I'll put in perspective, I was up in the Angeles Mountains outside of L.A., which is a great place to go driving. Not much traffic, some real serious twisties, some places to get some power, a lot of places to really test what a suspension will do. And I was doing speeds that I just could not expect. More importantly, I did it without having to constantly be fighting the tires. It's a nose-heavy car no matter what. You've got a 55% weight balance up front in the GT, which does, you know, make you work a little bit harder.
Right.
But we barely got any tire squeal under the worst circumstances. We were flogging it around. As a matter of fact, much to the chagrin of a guy with maybe a two-generation-ago Porsche 911 who could not get away from us. We were riding not quite on his bumper, but darn close. Now, and the best he would ever do would be get maybe an extra length on us in the worst turns, and we'd come right back on him, especially with the 5-liter GT engine kicking in.
Now, that was my question. What level did you drive? You drove a 5-liter GT. Now, that's still not top of the line, correct?
For now it is.
Right.
GT is the biggest of the new 15s. We also, by the way, drove the new EcoBoost, that new 2.3-liter four-cylinder turbocharged engine, and that is going to give a real surprise to people who somehow think that, you know, you can only have a naturally aspirated engine in a Ford Mustang. Well, this engine, I think, is going to shock people, and as they go global, this is the first time they're going to go global with the Mustang. This is going to be the engine of choice, I am absolutely convinced, everywhere in the world, but perhaps the United States.
Do you know, is there going to be a quote-unquote Shelby performance version of the Mustang at this point?
Yeah, officially they're not saying anything beyond what we've already seen. So you will have three engines, the base six, the mid-range EcoBoost, the top line GT, and of course there'll be the convertible following at the end of the year on top of the fastback, which we'll be getting shortly. Now, when you talk to people about this inside Ford, and you say, now wait a second, guys, I've never seen you come out with just three models before, they just smile they sort of roll their eyes, give you a big grin, and say, you know, we can't talk about that now.
Right.
And, of course, that tells you exactly what you need to know. Expect to see a Shelby. Expect to see a Boss. Expect to see all number of variations. And what you'll likely see is that Ford will be rolling those out, as they have in the past. You'll wait a year. They'll bring out one new variant. Wait another 6 months to a year. They'll have another one. So you'll have a full range of Mustangs within the next few years.
Now, do you think that, well, let me ask you this, is the 2015 available now, or is this to be released?
It's coming up within about a month. So for those folks who really want to get it, and I think that you'll find some people going for this new Mustang who might have written off that car and gone European or Japanese for quite some time. I think you're going to get a lot of new folks who are going to say, wait a second, this crosses into a whole new realm. And so if you're looking for one, expect to see the first of the new 15 Mustangs in showrooms in about a month. I'm not sure exactly when dealers will be getting it, you know, the first to show off. But I believe by mid to late October, you will start seeing some on the street. The convertible will be out at the very end of the year.
For those just tuning in, we're talking to Paul Eisenstein of the Detroit Bureau, thedetroitbureau.com. Paul, I always wonder this question, and I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot, and if I'm off base, just say so. Do you think what you drove was a regular production car, or do you think it was prepped for the press?
I actually think that what we drove was pretty darn close to the production car. My sense was that they didn't do the trick that you see sometimes where people will overinflate tires and do a few other things. No, I think that what we got was a real pre-production car. Where we drove, overinflating the tires, as some makers will do when you're on track and they have the chance to check the tires every couple of miles, you know, every couple of laps.
Right.
You just don't do that when you're sending people out in the Angeles Crest and the other mountains up in the canyons of Malibu and the like. So my sense was we got pretty darn close.
So what you got, what
and
you got
what
is what the listeners can get.
The sort of stuff that sometimes manufacturers will tweak, take a few steps to boost a little bit extra horsepower out of the car and what have you. It was the overall feel of the car. The suspension was probably more important to most of us who were out there than anything else.
Who's going to buy that new Mustang?
You certainly are going to have your traditionalists who come in. You know, as with the new Corvette, you had a few people that complained. They'll go, oh, it's not quite right. In fact, I think that they found an incredible balance with the car, especially in design. There's a little bit of heritage in there. It's not a retro car, but it's also not what some people have done where they've blown it with an icon, you know, somehow changing it so much that traditionalists would just walk away.
Right.
So you'll have the classic pony car traditionalists with all the changes. I think that they may finally regain the momentum that they lost to the Camaro over the last few years.
Yep.
And then the question is, will they bring some other folks back in, folks who've gone for performance Japanese or European products? Could they even cut into demand for something like a BMW M3? It's not the same car, but there are some people who may say, I only wish, and may actually say, wow, this car would get me into some Detroit iron instead of going European or Japanese.
Right. Just real quick before the break. What muscle car lookalikes do you think didn't make the mark as far as appearance? Can you say?
Actually, I think right now that all three of the Detroit models, the Challenger, the Camaro, and the new Mustang, really are gorgeous designs. You know, the Challenger is the most retro of them all, and for some folks it's maybe too retro. The Camaro, just a great design. Some people got a little bit surprised by some of the changes for the 14. If you recall, they almost flip-flopped. It was almost like they turned the grill upside down,
right? Yeah,
making the big snout under the grill, under the bumper rather than on top. But I think that car is a stunner, and I just think that perhaps for the moment the Mustang is the most complete design.
And once again, Ford's going to really rock everybody's world. Paul, sit tight. I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. We're talking to Paul Eisenstein of thedetroitbureau.com. We'll both be back right after this. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Ron Anini and the Car Doctor here with Paul Eisenstein of the DetroitBureau.com. Paul, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the new Caddy, but before we do, in the time we have left, I just want to touch on one point. We seem to be stuck on a horsepower war, or the horsepower war never died, and it just seems to be getting bigger. This new 700 horsepower Hellfire Challenger that's coming, what are your thoughts on that? Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I've driven it, and it is pretty amazing if you like raw power. It actually puts it down to the pavement better than you expected. Does it handle like the new Mustang? No. Does it handle as well as the European sports car? No. But it is a blast. There are going to be people who want to buy it. And by the way, there are some people who are talking at Chrysler about the possibility of getting it up to 800 horsepower.
Jeez. And you know, at $65,000, you wonder what the market is for something like that. What's the demand going to be?
I think there'll be just enough people to buy that to justify it for them. And it's certainly been a halo car. That car has gotten the Challenger a lot of attention just at a time when the Ford Mustang is hitting the road. And so, you know, Challenger could have easily been lost in the fray.
Right.
So I think they've come up with a good idea at just the right time.
Interesting. Well, let's leave it there for the time being. The new Caddy. Cadillac just announced, I think within the last couple of days, and you guys already have it covered at the DetroitBureau.com, that they're going to be launching a new namesake. Now, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they are. They're going to have a new flagship. But you know what? Do you mind if I get back to the horsepower wars for 1 second?
Sure, go ahead.
We'll get back to this. We also did a story on the DetroitBureau.com just 2 days ago, along with the Mustang preview and our first drive. I talked about what may be under the hood of the Mustang at the end of this life cycle and into the next one. You remember, this car is going to have to last until almost 2025. At least, you know, the basic platform, when we're going to have those 54.5 mile per gallon fuel economy standards take effect. And the question is, what are you going to do? Can you keep high-performance cars alive then? Well, there were a lot of people who thought the V8 would have gone away years ago, and look what they're doing. They're putting out things like the Challenger Hellfire.
Right.
You have all sorts of vehicles. You have a 30-mile-per-gallon Corvette. So the V8 isn't a dead duck. But going forward, we're probably going to see a lot more high-tech engines. I can tell you that Ford executives confirmed they are looking at, quote-unquote, everything possible. What does that likely mean? Well, some sources of mine tell me they're looking at things like downsized twin-turbo engines. They're looking at even this concept called an e-turbo, where you use an electric motor to spin up the turbo rather than exhaust gases, so you get a burst of power instantly. You don't have that dreaded torque lag.
Right.
And they're even looking at, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Consider the possibility of having a hybrid Mustang, not for fuel economy's sake necessarily, but to use the electric side of the package to boost performance as well as mileage.
Wow.
And before you laugh at that, you know as well as many of the listeners that there are actually hybrids out there at the top end of the market.
You've got
the Porsche Spyder 918.
Yep.
You've got the LaFerrari and others.
Yep, and it's the hybrid market is only going to continue to grow as we finally approach alternative fueled vehicles, which, you know, and we're going to leave it there because my opinion is it's nitrogen, but we'll have that conversation another day. Hey, Paul, we're out of time. Can we get you back in the next couple of weeks? I want to talk a little bit about Caddy. We'll talk a little bit about what you see in the hybrid market and things like that. Can I say maybe in the next month or so I'll have Harry get a hold of you and we'll hook up?
Yeah, I'd love to. Let's talk perhaps right after the Paris Motor Show. My apologies. We do have the story up on the new Caddy. There is a new flagship coming, and it will be autonomous on the highway with their SuperDrive system. So you can read about it, and we'll talk about it next time.
Perfect. We'll get our listeners out there. We'll make sure we mention the DetroitBureau.com. Paul, you take good care, sir. I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.
Stranger in the black sedan, won't you hop inside my car?